Father, this morning we ask and receive the light that comes with your word. That everyone under the sound of my voice receives your life, your light, and your joy. We see clearly, we hear clearly, and we are blessed. Hallelujah. Matthew Gospel chapter 4. We'll take a break on the book of Jonah. I have some things to say. As a sequel, but we'll do that during the workers' meeting. Is that clear? Yeah. Right. Well, this morning is going to be a single teaching, but we don't know whether it's single until next. Like he told me yesterday, he said, we don't know whether it's single until next week, so I'm also not sure whether it's single until next week. But I want to talk about recognizing God's purpose and times. Recognizing God's purpose and God's time. God's time is the best. In my primary school, we used to say something. So they force us to say it. You've got to say it by force. God's choice is the best. I live in God's choice all the days of my life. Imagine saying that at age 6. So we say that every morning. I think probably from age 3. I want to remember the full quote. Bolu, what's the full quote? You can't remember, but you said it too. So it's the same primary school. Myself and my 2 siblings, the same primary school. I'm trying to remember the full quote. I live in God's choice. God's choice is the best. I live in God's choice all the days of my life. Amen. What a thing to train your children with. Amen. Matthew 4. We are in very sensitive and fragile times. Sometimes when we say discernment, people think discernment is the ability to know what you ate yesterday. I want to be able to figure out what's going on. But mostly discernment is about figuring out what God is doing. And there has never been a more urgent time to work in the gift of discernment than these days. I said before, discernment means you can find out where God is. Because sometimes what God is doing today is different from what he did yesterday. And I'm going to show you in this teaching. Like I said, it's likely a single teaching. But if you listen very well, it will change your life. When I say that about certain teachings, I know what I'm saying. It's almost compressed thoughts. But I trust God. Matthew 4. Verse 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit, was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. Interesting. So this is not fictional. He was indeed hungry. Have you been hungry before?
I have.
At the time when I was in boarding house, I traded all my food, my provisions. You know, when we say provision in Nigeria, it's exactly what it is, food. Because your primary provision as a human is food, then shelter, then clothing. No, food, then clothing, then shelter. Amen. So I traded it. We used to do deal. If you went to Bonnet House, you know what I mean. I can collect your jollof rice and egg on Wednesday afternoon or Sunday afternoon and say, I'll give you my cabin biscuit and milk. Not the entire cabin biscuit. Half row, one row. Depends on how you can negotiate the deal. But you give me jollof rice and egg for 2 weeks. So I had traded all my deals. And now I was hungry like a prodigal. And I ate grass. Wheat. That elephant grass. I said, everything God created has a purpose. That's the way you can convince yourself. And I think that's how mad made people think. Because hunger can make you mad. So I said, I took wheat. For the bad though. If only hunger was not a contraband. You know hunger? O-N-G-A. You know hunger now? The spice stuff. So some people used to sneak into their stuff. But Jesus was hungry. Amen. Just that he didn't. Wait, let's just say I took wheat. Verse 3. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be turned into bread. I've told you before, temptation are within your capacity. I cannot tempt you to do what you don't have the ability to do. I can't tempt some people to say, donate $10 million in the service. It's not a temptation. It's a joke. The moment I tell you, just say, you're not even tempting me. You understand? If I tell you, donate 100,000 naira, there are people who say, that's a temptation. Because you got it. But if you don't have it, just be looking at the instruction and say, Emi Kolomba, we now. You understand? So, for the tempter to come to tempt him to turn stones to bread, does that mean he has the capacity? Do you agree he has the capacity? Yeah? Eventually, we're going to see him in John 6 multiply loaves. Is it making sense? We're going to see him feed 5,000 men, excluding the women and children, bread and fish. Verse 4, what did Jesus say? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. We have a teaching around this. I've forgotten the name. Esther Moyo. Where's Bro Pam? Who remembers the teaching? It was last year. No one. They were looking at, don't turn stones to bread. All right, we move on. I thought someone would be able to help. All right. So, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, let me ask. Did he need the bread? Huh? Have you been hungry after 10 hours before? Not talk of 40 days. Can he provide the bread? Okay, let's bring it. Can God provide the bread? Does Jesus need the bread? Then Jesus says, no, it's not going to happen. Because sometimes we think, if I need it and God can do it, then it should happen. But the Bible doesn't teach that. Because sometimes that's how we reason. And sometimes your prayer focus or your prayer point can be your greatest disadvantage. You feel, I need it, God can do it, so I'm just going to keep praying about it. But Jesus says, even though I need the bread, this is not the time for bread. Because I need it and God can do it doesn't mean I can have it. Because if you allow your spiritual journey to be based on your appetite, you'll be in trouble. If you allow, the way I see God is that everything I need I get, then that's trouble. So when I need to get into school, I get into school. Because I feel I need it and God can do it, and so I have it. Nice. Then I need to get a first class. Yeah. And I want to get married. And I get a job. And all of that. I'm not putting any order. You can graduate before you even enter school. Don't worry. And then everything. Then suddenly you need something. God can do it and it doesn't happen. And you say, yeah, I've always known you cannot answer prayer. We are looking at understanding God's purpose and time. So it's not just that I need it. Is it consistent with what God wants to do now? Because God has his plan. It's not enough to just know that it can happen or what is to happen. We need to know what time is it meant to happen. Let me say it again. It's not just important to know what's going to happen or what's meant to happen. I need to also find out God's time for it to happen. Purpose is the greatest spiritual devotion. Prayer is good, but your prayer should be led with purpose. Fasting is good, but if you're not purposeful, you're just hungry. And because you're a child of purpose, when God says no, you say no, right? Huh? Because you're a child of purpose. I'm a child of purpose. You understand more? The scripture says, you will ask for rain in the year of the latter rain. That's understanding God's purpose and timing. You would ask for rain in the year of the latter rain. In Ecclesiastes 9, the wise man says something in verse 11. You know it. I returned and saw under the sun. Ecclesiastes 9:11. I'm waiting for you. I pray for you that you understand God's time and purpose. Amen. I say you understand God's time and purpose. Amen. It will be clear to you. Amen. It will be clear to you. Amen. It will be clear to you. Amen. Ecclesiastes 9:11. I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to the men of skill, but what? Time and chance happens to them all. We are still going to come back here. He says, bread is not to the wise. Riches is not to the man of understanding. Favor is not for the man of skill. Meaning that a man can labor all his life and he ends up with nothing. If he does not understand time and chance. That's serious. It took God 430 years to bring Israel out of Egypt. God had already told Abraham, remember? That your seed will be slaves in a stranger's land for 430 years. Till the cup of the Amorites shall be full. Remember? Come on. We're talking Bible here. Till the cup of the Amorites are full. Meaning that God is saying, yeah, the Amorites have offended me, but I'm going to give them time. So much time that anybody that studies history, we know that I give them a chance. I'm not going to do anything till their cup is full. So that Israel can now inherit Canaan. Exodus 12. 430 years. Are you telling me that nobody was praying in those years? Are you trying to say that nobody was asking God for intervention in 430 years? I doubt it. Exodus 12. I hope you prayed when we were praying. And your eyes of understanding be enlightened. Because you're about to see him. I say you're about to see him. Amen. His purpose will locate you. Amen. Exodus 12 verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even that same day, say that same day. So God didn't wait a day extra. The moment it was 430 years, he told Abraham, that same day, all of the host of the Lord went out of the land of Egypt. All of the host of the Lord, that same day. So, do you think it was just about their cry and prayer? God had a plan. Like I said, were people praying before the 430 years? Yes. Did God step in? No. There is a time. Understanding the purpose and the time of God. Yes, I need bread. Yes, he can do bread. But it's not the time for bread. Are you listening? That same day. But before that day happened, were there stuff happening in Egypt? What happened to blood? All of that. And I believe, I've said it before in our teaching, let there be light. That Exodus is a very interesting one because I want to believe that God was doing revenge for all the sons of Egypt that Pharaoh has killed. Even though he's not the same Pharaoh and all of that. God told Moses, Israel is my firstborn. And if you not let them go, I will take his too. That's what he said. But there was drama before the Red Sea and all that. Does that mean that if the 430 years was not complete, if Moses stretched forth his rod, nothing will happen? The same rod, but not the right time. You have the Spirit of God, right? Let's say you live on Lagos Island, and you're going to Korodu, and you don't want to use the ferry, and you don't want to use land transport, you want to walk on water. I know that if you're living in Lagos Island, you might not even need to use the ocean. Can you just step out of your door and you walk on water? Maybe in a bit. Hallelujah. And you take maybe kumo, you know kumo or pesu, in your kitchen and you stretch it forth to the water. If it does not pass, does it mean God does not hear you? Or does it mean the powers of old does no longer exist? I just want to know. Because we say things like, I would have loved to teach this to the leaders first, though. We say things like, is the power of God waning in this generation? Why are we not seeing miracles like before? But who told you God has a plan for you to see the exact same miracles? Listen to me. Pharaoh, let's go back to the story. There are things I'm going to hold back on, there's things I'm going to say. Pharaoh did not let them go. But 430 years was ticking. It was almost time. And of course, Paul said in Romans 9, he said, for this cause I have raised Pharaoh. Now what? Romans verse 11, I think. Verse 17. Romans 9. Read your Bible. Tell someone besides, say, read your Bible. Romans 9. Are you there? Verse 17. For this scripture, For the scripture say unto Pharaoh, for this same purpose, say purpose, have I raised you up, that I might show my power in you, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. So God has a purpose for all those drama that Pharaoh was doing. Moses put his rod down. Pharaoh too put his rod. I like that song, J. Mike. Opa Moses Dejo. Opa Wano Dejo. Amen. Beautiful song. Pharaoh thought, yeah, I have a chance. If this is what you have come with, I have a chance. But what was God doing? He said, I've raised you up for a purpose. I will make evangelism easy for everybody that looks like you. Meaning that the next person that will be at that thing like you, we have an example to point to. Then the day came. And Israel went out of Egypt gallantly with gold. And the sea part. Or the sea gave way. Well, it was time. The issue was not that God did not see them in foreigners. The issue is that God is working with time. So if you cannot discern God's time in your life, you're in trouble. If you cannot discern what God is saying now, what he's doing now, there's a problem. He says the race is not for the swift. You have thought the race is meant to be for the swift. Who else is the race for? The fastest, right? The race is meant to be for the swift. But the scripture says, no, the race is not for the swift. Favor is not for those who work hard. I understand God's time. God revealed his plan. He reveals his plan, rather, and his time. Even in the death of Jesus, you're going to see it. Don't forget, when Israel left Egypt and the sea gave way, 50 days after, they arrived at where? So if you read your Bible scriptures in your devotional, this should not be here. That means you read it this year and you read it last year. So 50 days after the Red Sea, where did they land? Sinai, right? Where the law was given. So yeah, I need that. You land at Sinai. So the Passover to Sinai was 50 days. Time. Jesus died exactly at the week of the Passover. If our historians added that, as the priests were slaughtering the lambs, he was entering Jerusalem. God's time. Intentional. 50 days after Passover, what happened? Huh? Pentecost. The upper room. You say, I don't like all these type of shadows. If you know very well, I don't like it. But to teach God's timing, it's so intentional. You would have to intentionally convince yourself that it's not happening. 50 days after the Passover, the Spirit was given to fulfill what Ezekiel said. Huh? It's no longer about the law. God told Jeremiah to you, I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'm going to take away the law. I'm going to give you the spirit. But it happened at the same time. So if you don't understand God's timing, you're already at a disadvantage. You'll be swift thinking that the race is for the swift. You'll be skilled thinking that profit is for the skilled. I'm not saying don't be skilled. I'm not saying don't be swift. I'm saying understand what God is saying now. Are you listening to me? Oh, you're not listening? So now you understand why Jesus will see after his death. Tarry in Jerusalem. Tarry till when? He knew exactly when. Tarry. Meaning there's a time. See, you are endued with power from on high. Tarry. You are going to wait. Because God's time remains the same. So what will be my duty? What will be your duty? To understand God's purpose and time. Why would Jesus not turn the stone to bread? Purpose. Purpose. Find out what God is doing in this time. There are plans of God that you cannot change through prayer. I'll give you three kinds of plans of God. Or purpose of God. That when God has proposed it, you can't change it. One, that's one. The one you can't change through prayer. For example, God has said, Jesus will come. He will die. He will be raised from the dead and he will dwell in his church. Right? Which, you say, he has come back again. Right? Right? You can't pray that away. You can't wish it away. There are times if God tells you it's going to rain, don't bother praying. Find an umbrella. There are untouchable purpose and plans of God. If you don't understand that this is untouchable, you will keep praying about it. May you not label yourself into heart attack. Amen. Because that plan cannot change. If he tells you there is going to be 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty, don't pray it. Save. You see that the man who doesn't understand God's purpose is and time is already in disadvantage. Because he will be praying. No, we rebuke famine. We rebuke famine. Liberato satalabaya. I say, no, save. That purpose will not change. That time for that event will not change. So if there's something you pray about, I want to understand what you're doing. I want to understand what you're saying. I want to understand where you're going. So that when the cloud move, I move. There are people still waiting. The cloud has gone. The cloud of glory has moved. We must understand, glorious house church, God's purpose and God's time. What he wants to do now. There are also purposes of God and plans of God that is within your control, because they are conditional. If you do this, you get this. If you believe, you'll be saved. Amen. You can't pray that it's conditional. It's God's plan, but it's conditional. But they are all God's purpose and plan, temporary. So I mentioned three now. The ones that are untouchable. The second one, conditional. The third, temporary. Let me show you an example. Joshua. Meaning that God wanted this now, but he's not going to have it tomorrow. And I must be able to recognize that God has stopped moving this way. Or God has stopped moving like this. Or this is where God is now. I must be able to see it. The assignment is not just to know what happened yesterday. It's to know where God is going. In Joshua chapter 5, you learning something? Are you learning something? I am. I want to give you a context to Joshua 5. Before Joshua 5, Moses had fed them with manna for 40 years. Sometimes I try to picture that in my head. You have children. Do you know what it means to feed a child for 1 month? Little children, yourself. You yourself. Have you calculated what you have spent on food for a month? Even if you say Sakpa is worrying you, you still go and calculate it. Moses fed an entire nation for 40 years. Joshua 5. So, they had manna. They didn't have to walk. God, I beg. Yeah, can't that be your purpose and time now? Amen? I mean, we just wake up and I say, I woke up late, but your own manna is waiting for you. The manna should not be bread and egg with a cup of juice. I don't take juice anymore, but like a cup of nice milk. Hallelujah. What a manna. I love the manna of this. Joshua 5, verse 11. They did eat of the old corn of the land in the morrow, and after the Passover, unleavened cakes, parched of the corn. Can we verse 12 together? I want to go. And the manna ceased on the morrow, after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. What happened? The moment they got to Canaan, God said, the last manna you are eating is the last one. Now you have a land. You are going to work and eat of the fruit of the land. What has happened? God's time and his purpose for manna has gone. I must not be found praying for manna. That would be me wasting my time. I'm not going to say what you said now. He has stopped feeding with manna. That's what he's just telling you. Some Christians are going to understand. They are going to organize vigils. And they're going to understand, organize seminars. And say, the times of the manna. Why are manners not happening again among us? What's going on? Where is the sin in the land? We are going to pray that as the days of old, manna begins to fall. No. God has gone. I recognize his move. He has gone. He's telling you, now you are in. Move with me. Are you there? I am there. 40 years, they had manna. But the moment they entered Canaan, it says the manna ceased. So you must know when the cloud has moved. Are you sensitive enough to know the leadings of God in your life for this time? Yes, you are 30. Yes, you're 40. Yes, you're now in your 50s. What is God saying to you? What's God saying to you? In John 6, one of the funniest things happened. They compared Jesus to Moses. This is funny. Because if Moses was there, he probably give them a death. You know, there's a slap. There's a dirty slap. I was somewhere, so I was talking to someone who's like a mentor. So someone came and said, so it was ailing me out of that. I kept saying, he just said something, said, even people like us. So he was talking to himself and my own mentor. He said, we are looking up to you. Ah, he was like, I should hold his belt and say, what are you saying? Because I went there for favor. Amen. Now, me, I came to pitch something. I said, let me look at this idea. What can you drop for the idea? You are telling me that you are looking up to me. And the man was just smiling. I said, sir. So immediately I started debunking it. That is exactly what happened with Moses and Jesus. When that woman in John 4 said, our father Jacob gave us this land. Are you saying you are greater than Jacob? Imagine Jacob was there. Say, John, not 2-bedroom flat at the manager for paradise. Amen. So they compared Jesus to Moses. And they understand where they are coming from. Jesus just multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And he said, yeah, it's impressive, but someone did it for 40 years. You know that kind of thing. We feel you. We feel you. But Moses did it for 40 years, and we are begging you to do it again. Because the next time they came to Jesus, Jesus said, is it because he came to me for bread? And they said, what are you saying? What are you doing? Someone did it for 40 years, he did it once, you want to stop. Why did Jesus not turn the stone to bread? God's purpose has shifted to him being the bread of life. If you don't understand, you will keep saying miracles have ceased. But no. God is saying the purpose of bread for them was to believe. Now the one you are meant to believe is here. Believe him. God is not going to do miracles to impress you. You will need to settle that one in your mind. Let me say it again. God is not going to do a miracle to impress you. You must understand the purpose of miracles. You must understand why he's doing what he's doing. He did it for 40 years. You have multiplied this once and you don't want us to hear what? That's what he said. Not me. It's about the purpose of God for that time. Imagine, a prophet led an entire nation into prosperity. Then Jesus was right there and the Romans were ruling over them. If you were there too, you would not believe he was the Messiah. Because if you are the Messiah, at least show signs. Carry placard. Go to Ovila. Say we no go agree. Nigerian, you'd say no. Right? You are showing us that yes, you can save later. But Jesus kept watching Israel. And they were under the rule of the Roman Empire. He himself was subject to them. Why would he not rescue them from the rule of the Roman Empire? Purpose. That was not God's purpose. And definitely was not God's time. I recognize God's purpose for my life. See, when you see purpose, everything shifts. Like I said, it's your greatest spiritual devotion. Without purpose, your prayer amiss. The God of the Bible does not do miracles to prove to you that he's God. Let me say this. God can keep quiet if he wants. And there's nothing you do about it. Between Malachi and Matthew, there are 400 years. 400 years of quiet. What happened? We don't know. Between Malachi and Matthew, 400 years of the church history, call it the Dark Ages. Because nobody can say who was prophesying in these times. Quiet. Maybe God setting the grand stage. Someone's about to talk. If we keep quiet first. So God can keep quiet if he wants. You are the one that has to understand what he's doing now. What he's saying now. So that when he says there will be 7 years of famine and 7 years of plenty, you don't start praying. You need to understand the ones that you don't pray about. You save. You need to understand the ones that you get an umbrella for. There are rains you can't pray away. God can keep quiet if he wants to. Let me ask you, how many people did Jesus raise from the dead? I'm waiting. Two. Thank you. Two. Say two. Are you telling me that in his 33 and a half years of ministry, of being on earth, only two people died? Huh? In fact, he met some folks. And he said, follow me. And he said, let me first go bury my father. Right? What did Jesus say? You know that one very well. He said, let the dead bury the dead. He didn't say, is it because someone that died that you don't want to follow me? Where are they? Show me. Where them they? I will break the jugular. He didn't say that. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Meaning that God's compassion flows in the direction of purpose. If he wants to do it for his own purpose, he will do it. If he doesn't do it, align. Fall in line. God is not going to do a miracle to prove to you that he's alive. He didn't raise every dead. Let the dead bury the dead. That's what he said. He's not going to prove a point to you. He's not going to raise the dead to prove a point to you. Say, if you are truly God, if you are truly God, if you are truly God, we declare, let him rise up. He's not going to rise. If you like, say he's not truly God. God has no point to prove to you. You have all the duty to recognize what he wants to do now. And why am I saying this? Because if we don't, we can run another man's race. If we don't, we'll keep being in the wheel, going in circles. That's not me in the name of Jesus. I see his plan. I walk in it. I was talking to a friend yesterday over the phone. My friend's a pastor. I said, he was saying something. He said, miracles. We need to walk in miracles. I said, yeah. These are the days of the miraculous. I'm energized when it comes to the things of the spirit. He said, yes. I said, but because that it was almost a prophecy, it was an inspired utterance. So I just said, but what God is telling me right now is we cannot judge every man of God by the miracles they do. See, there are people that God gave them. He just gave them. If you try and be like them, you will tear ACL. You know when they say you will tear ACL? Samson was coming from the house of a prostitute. And he took the gate of a city. For others to take that gate of a city, they will fast and pray 400 days and 400 nights. It's the gift of God. Don't run another man's race. Understand your purpose. Billy Graham, God appeared to him in the forest at 8 and said, anyone who believes you are a man of God, if they can just believe a man of God, you will know everything about them. And whatever you say about them will come to pass. And throughout his lifetime, the first thing he will ask you is, do you believe I'm sent from God? If you say yes, he will know everything about you immediately. And whatever he says will come to pass. But at some point, Reagan said, God said he's going to take him just to save his soul. He had a lot of heretics. A lot of things that when you hear, you say, Gabili. Oh, you know, right? One of the greatest evangelists. But you hear something, you say, Gabili. But again, said, God told him, I will have to take him to save his soul. In fact, the day he died in an accident, the very accident he died, everyone who was with him died. The last person, he saw them, as he was gasping for his final breath, he said, take my body close to him. That person survived, lived, and he died. If you try and be like that person, someone that saw God at 8, you can't labor your way into it. Find your purpose. Are you listening to me? Find your purpose. In the same breath, we're talking. You see what's happening in the body of Christ? There's this argument online. Whether, you know, someone said this, and everywhere else, I said, you know me too well. I don't give a hoot about it. I don't care. I don't what? Care. I don't listen to anything online. I said something. I think you were there when I was saying. I said, I have what God has given me in my hands. And I don't think I'm doing well enough yet. So I'll face my work. And you too, mind your business. Not as an insult. What God has given you, mind. The moment you start running around that man's race, what has been said here? I want to trend. You don't understand God's purpose for your life. As a young man of God, if you want to replicate what Pastor Adeboye has done, that is you can tear his ear. I die it tear his ear. I will use it in the next days. Paul says, I'm the least of the apostles, but I labored more than all of them put together. He said, but it's not me. It's God's grace. He didn't pray into it. I'm not saying prayer is wrong. I'm saying he found his purpose. The moment you know what God is saying for you, what he's saying you should do, where he's saying you should be, you have done 80% of God's purpose for your life. If you cannot understand his purpose and timing, you miss it all altogether. You would think God doesn't want to save you, but it's 429 years. listening to me. Imagine someone writes a book 429 years in and he says, the God of Israel is not alive. He is not going to save. And it's 430. You wait. You wait for when God wants to do when he wants to do it. Understand his purpose. Understand his timing. He's not going to turn every stone to bread. But he turns stones to bread. But not every stone. I mean, stone to bread at once and feeding people for 40 years. Which one is harder? Huh? Turning one stone to bread and feeding people for 40 years. A nation. Which one is harder? He did that and he chose and he said, I'm not going to do this one. Because the purpose has shifted. The times have changed. I pray. My eyes are open. My ears are open. In my dreams, while I'm awake, I see him. I see his purpose for my life. And I walk in it. He says, the race is not for the swift. You don't understand that one. He says, someone can be doing like this. And he wins the race. The race is... Hey, Jesus. He says, the race is not for the swift. I won't labor in vain. I will labor in my purpose. I will see God's plan. It will be clear to me. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Run your own race. Find out your purpose. The real spiritual geniuses are those who can know what God is doing now. And what God wants to do with them. And I said, if a young minister, your goal is to replicate that geo. Be careful. Be careful. I'm not saying there can't be a greater. If that's their purpose. But don't... Don't now sit in your corner and say, it must happen. I will pray my way into it. I will fast my way into it. I will labor. You just die. The man fed 5 billion people for 2 days. Is that not campaign? If a politician does it, it will be on 12 pages of newspaper. Amen. He will campaign with it for 4 years. Bishop Oyedepo was saying a story. He said he went to campground some years ago. And then he saw zone, something zone. And it was the chair he was standing by, he saw the number behind it. 178,242. Something like that. That's not the all. That's the chair in the zone. And that was not the end of the chair. There are other zones. You see another one that will have 200 and something. Ask God, is this my purpose? If it is, start working in it now. Start laboring in it now. Some people's purpose. God has given them. And they are going to rescue a lot of people from drug addiction. With the gospel. They are going to pastor. But you see, he has not really sent them to evangelize to India. He has sent them to bring prostitutes from the street. Sometimes they say, is this also ministry? Is this? I say, what would you rather have him do? Talking about Pastor Tony Rappo. Never met him. I don't even know how his voice sounds. But you see, I love what is going on. Find out what God wants you to do. Not everybody is going to build a 50,000 seater hall capacity. Not everybody. Rob Gilliakone was sharing his story. He said, many years ago, he said, he wanted to reform his church. So if you know Rob Gilliak, he wanted to reform it and then add some so that it can now look like a proper church. Because what he does is he teaches, and then they have campuses all around the country who are not churches. They meet on Mondays mostly. So he said, I wanted to now start doing Sunday. And because he's popular, some of you might not know him, the Gen Z's, but Rob Gilliakone is popular. And he said, and God told him, he said, I think I was sharing with you the other day. And God said, Pastor Billy. He said, it sounded strange in his ears. Immediately he said, he called his leaders. That nonsense we said yesterday. That nonsense that all of us agreed to. Council. I remain broad belay. Find out your purpose. And I pray you won't miss it. Amen. You must understand God's purpose. God's purpose. Many are struggling. They have no fulfillment, no joy in their Christian work. Because they are running another man's race. They have taken another man's purpose and said, this is mine. No! No, find out what God wants you to do. Those who follow us well, you know, at some point we took a paradigm shift. Right, prophet? From there's a way we were doing things, teaching and all of that. And then we took a shift. Because you cannot run another man's race. Find out what God wants you to do. What he wants you to say. Where he wants you to go. Moses is not Joshua.
Moses is going to feed them manna. Joshua will tell them, walk. Are you listening to me? Not everyone is going to make the sun stand still. If you judge your ministry and the effectiveness of God's work in your life by you being able to stop the sun like Joshua, you will miss it. God said to Joshua, there is nothing you want I won't give to you. Everywhere your feet steps is yours. He didn't tell you that. Find out if that's yours too. Don't run another man's race. You can't start out your ministry with wanting to be like Redemption Camp. Is that what he sent you? Hallelujah. Many are, they will just pick someone you like and say, I want my life to be like this person. Is that what God said to you? I believe what he said to me. I love that song. What's the name of the song? What you said to me, I believe. Who sang it? Lauren Dago. Thank you. I believe what you said to me. I believe the word of God. I believe the word of God is true. I see his plans and purpose for my life, for my family, for my future. And I see it and I walk in it. I am obedient to the call. I don't miss purpose. I don't miss purpose. I don't miss purpose. Hallelujah. It's the gift of God. A dear minister was sharing about his mentor in ministry. He said, the man used to perform miracles. OTAC, Aladra. Miracles. Like easily. So he wanted to know how his life was. So he went to Inten. Went to the son of the prophet, the man. And so he's got every time they bring in cases to do miracles, the man would just. He said, so he was saying, I was laughing. He said, this man does not pray the way I think he would be praying. No. Because he had gone on days of fasting and prayer to get the powers of old, like that man. So when he goes to the man, he said, we'll just be reading Bible. And he'll be singing hymns. And when he bring stuff that needs miracles, he'll just go into the shower. In the shower, he'll just be praying. 20 seconds, he'll come out. He said, you are healed. And he'll be healed. So he now said, it's time to stop too. He's also going to stop praying and fasting. So he started singing hymns. He was sharing this story. I was at Osun State. And so he used to start singing hymns with bells. Jesus. So they brought a sick person. He now ran into shower. Oluwa lo drag to me. Emi go shine. Mo wipe mo so pe na came out. You are healed. The person died on the spot. He came for healing. He came for healing. The person died. He said, Jesus. So he called the man. The man said, you should come. So he went there. He now explained everything to him. The man laughed. He said, Olu washawa. Olu washawa. Mude koni beshe man koni. Shalomwe. Did God send you to sing? Amen. Did God send you to sing? That's what he asked him. He said, but that's what you do. The man said, I am not you. You are not me. Hallelujah. You look at the ministry of Bro Egan, Kenneth E. Egan, who I revere so much. I love you, know that. But you also know who I like so much. Who is my favorite? No. My favorite. No one knows. I know. Kenya. That was my nickname, Kenya, but no. I've said before. Renard Bonnke, thank you. I've said it many times. I got saved by Renard Bonnke. There's no way I don't. And you look at the two ministries. Different ministries. At some point in Bro Egan's ministry, he said, God had told him he would not leave the United States. He was born there. And God said, you will not minister outside the United States. And let me tell you very well. He never did minister at the United States. But we all hear Bro Egan today. Whether you even know how his face looks, you know Kenneth Egan, right? But he never stepped out of the United States. You know, to some pastors, that's fulfillment in ministry. I remember the first time I got called to minister in the UK. I've shared the story before, I don't know. Yeah, I must have. I said, Makara Baba, same today. But see, I'll bring two people. I was already looking at the leaders. I said, which two? I was already scheming. That's the word. So when we get to Itro, what next? I said, I will not allow anybody to carry my bag. I stay home. So that night, I was sleeping. I didn't pray about it. Because, it means the word is growing, right? And God told me, a fellow preaching UK. I said, yes. You know the funny thing and the coincidental thing? We were praying for nations at that time. Praying for the nations to be saved, that missionaries are sent. So I said, answered prayer. I'm a missionary, suddenly. And God said, in Yoruba, in Yoruba, UK, normally, if I don't know how God talks to me, I'll say, Rakatu zelebe, I bind you, the devil. What do you mean the gospel will not spread? What do you mean the gospel will not spread? I say, devil, my visa is ready. I knew God's voice. I said, I told the pastor, I said, there's a bit of change. I might not be able to make it. It was painful for me to say, because I was younger then. I'm still very young. I was younger. I felt that would have been, you know, glorious answers. Bam! I trust them, bro, where they'll pace it. Eh? Follow pastor live in UK. Ministering to the nations. But he didn't send me. You know, if I wanted to go, I would still go. And the plane would not crash. But God never sent me. I would have run the race. I would sweat a lot. But there would be no price. Can you pray for yourself a bit? Say, ask for rain in the year of the latter rain. Find out my plan. Find out my plan. Find out my purpose. That's what he's saying. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So I said, the greatest gift is to discern where God is going now. Is he going to rain manna, or is it time to walk? Find out. Allow God change your plan. Are you listening to me? Allow God change your plan. Sometimes your prayer point is your greatest disadvantage. You feel, I have everything all figured out. This is what I want, God. This is what I want. This is what I want. This is what I want. Number one prayer point. Number two. And God is saying, your purpose in life does not even correlate it. Out of the five, none. Well, you see, that's been your prayer point. You even think you have it figured out well. Find out. How are you listening to me? Turning stone to bread is not a sin. It's about, does God want to do it now? I remember when we started our church. And that's why, that's one of my greatest circle and my greatest places of strength. I told God, I said, whatever ought to work well, if I'm in your plan, let it not work well. You see that kind of prayer? It's not easy to pray. That if I'm in your plan, God, if there are things that will not work well because I'm in your plan, let it never work well. I've not changed that prayer today. So sometimes when I see things not working well, certain things, I need to find out, is it not working well because I'm in God's plan, or it's not working well because I've not prayed enough? You need to find out. You need to discern. Are you seeing that now? But something might not be working well because you're in God's plan. And then you start praying, let it work, God. Why is it not working? I decree. Oh, yeah, decree. Woman decree every day. Have you found that if what you are decreeing is in God's calendar, the race is not for the swift. The battle is not for the strong. Usually the battle is meant to be for the stronger one. Paul says, it's not me. He said, I labored more than them together. Paul is half of the New Testament. If you take away the four Gospels, Paul, he's about 80% of the New Testament. And he says, it's not me. Sometimes when I read that, I'm reading it with him, smiling and laughing. So I labor more than all of them put together. But before you think I'm that fine, I'm that better, it's not me. He chose me. If you were not there on that road to Damascus, you will not hear what Jesus told him. He said, I have chosen you to be my mouthpiece to the Gentiles. I have chosen you to be my mouthpiece. If you are not there, you'll be sweating. I decree, I reach the Gentiles. And God is saying, nah. James, I have sent you to the Jews. You will pass over the Jews. You are not Paul. And Paul is not James. They are different graces with different capacities. I find out my role in God's plan. I don't miss out on it. And I'll play it well. Oh, I say I'll play it well. Yeah, in decades to come, you're going to say there was a Yemi Adesina somehow. He did his part. Amen. Yeah. I'm not like every other person. No. I know what God wants to do with my life. I know it. And I will not fail. I shall not fail.
In the name of the Lord Jesus, I walk with times. I ask for rain in the year of the latter rain. Amen.
You must find out your purpose. Listen to me. Jesus died at the age of 33 and a half years. He did die young. No. He died at the right time. Purpose. You look at it from the earthly world. I saw. Bury him that same day. We died at the right time. Find out God's plan. Are you listening to me? Okay. Purpose is of God. Jesus was going to die. And he told Peter, I'll die. And Peter said, no, it is written. Thou shalt not die, but you shall live to declare the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. I say over you. And just said, Satan, shut up. Peter was looking back. Foolish. Foolish. Satan, shut up. His purpose. He knew his purpose. I know my purpose. So cast your cares on him. If you know his purpose for your life, cast your cares on him. And if you are yet to find out, cast your cares on him. Don't ask me. Earlier this year, I said, where do you see yourself in the next 10 years? Which is a nice question. Don't answer like this interview. Because it was not an interview for me. I said, where do you see yourself in the next 10 years? I said, where God sees me. Do I have things I want to do? Yeah. But I am way, 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 way more than willing to allow my plans change. You see me? You see me? I don't get plans like that. I work hard. I was telling someone, I said, I'm the chief hustler. So it felt that like maybe I don't hustle. Was it you, David? So because sometimes they feel they hustle. And I said, me, you also have done in this life. So I hustle. But you see, I'm willing more than enough to allow God to change my plans. Let him change your plans, if need be. Where do I see myself in the next 10 years? Where he sees me? There are certain things I don't pray about. Don't copy it. There are certain things I don't pray about. Allow God to do what he wants to do. A soldier does not fund his own gun or his own boots. It's supplied by the one who sent him. There are certain things I tell God, I say, so what are we going to do about it? You don't have sent me on a random. Because normal, usually, if purpose not take me this route, I know where the horse will have taken me. Oh. Amen. I was sharing with your dear friend sometimes. He said, you have gone through all of this. I said, yeah. So sometimes I just tell God, you sent me. Fund it. And he funds it. And I keep funding it. So there are certain things I don't bother myself with. Like my own boots. Like my own gun. No, I don't have a gun. Don't come out. Say, give us your RPG. Because I'm a soldier. I allow him to fund me. Man, he's a soldier and you're running around. Say, where do I get gun? Where do I get gun? Where do I get gun? Go to the armory. Your name is there. You pick yours. But you are not in the armory to pick your own gun because you don't even know you're a soldier. You don't even know your name is there. You don't even know he called you. You don't know you're on the list. Find out God's plan for you. Find out where he wants you to be. And be willing, be more than willing to change your plan. To allow him give you a new direction, a new purpose. Cast your cares on him. I love that whole song. If you give God your lifetime, he will take care of you. If you give him, he will take care of you. I say it for free to you now. If you don't hear anything in this sermon, if you give God your lifetime, he will take care of you. I'll say it again. If you give God your life and say, you know what? Here I am. Here am I. Use me. Send me. Make me. Teach me. Mold me. Break me down and remold me. If you give him, he will take care of you. I hope you can give him. Allow God to change your plans. The scripture says there's a way that seems right to a man. The man has planned it. And it looks good. You know what it means seems right? He has looked at the option and said, this is proper. Say, but the end thereof is death. It's the ways of death. Allow God to change your plans. It can hurt. It can hurt. Sometimes it's not what you bargain for. In these days where someone can study something, and what you study for 5 years, AI can do it in 1 minute. So if God is telling you, don't study that course, why not do this one? Say, nah, I've always wanted to be a building engineer. And then there's just a software that if you click, it generates a plan for a 3-bedroom duplex. Bam! Gives you the builder. Say, ah, so what's my work here? Say, ah. We've already employed the IT guy that will start the system and operate the and will prompt it. Allow God to change your plans. Are you listening to me? If you give God your lifetime, what will you do? Oh, you don't believe it? You'll take care of me. I say, you'll take care of me. Be a person of radical obedience. Be a person of radical obedience. That when God says go, you don't just go. You go at the exact time. Are you listening to me? Because sometimes if you allow compassion of people, let me say this one. If you allow people's compassion to influence how you obey God, you will miss it though. So some years ago, I said I was going to come to Lagos to pastor. So when I was coming to Lagos, I was going to come to Lagos to pastor. Of course, it was not going to be immediate. I felt I'm going to do it gradually, find out where, how God wants me to do it, what's God's plans, right? I was praying and fasting. In fact, there was a particular year, Sir Judith, you remember, I fasted and prayed so much, I felt terribly sick. Terribly sick. I was serious. What year was that? 2016? I was 16, yeah. Terribly sick. They were coming and saying, I just wanted to know what God... See, I don't want to run a man's race. I don't want to get to the end of the race and say, you are not even on the list of those who are meant to run here. Your track is there. God forbid. An entire lifetime. So when I was leaving, one of my disciples started crying. No, it cannot be. It cannot be. Who will pastor us? Who will be teaching us? All these Holy Ghost meetings that we do. And this person just started growing spiritually. I sat on the well. I don't stand. This is that way. I will go back to it. Maybe one day I will take a few of you. A lot of things happen on that well. If he's still there. So I sat on the well. Like Jesus. And I was looking at them crying. But I told them, I said, this is the last fellowship meeting. You're going to see me old for now. But I'll be coming back once in a while. But I'm going to Lagos to start a work. I don't know if it's going to be in a year or two. The work didn't even start until like 4 or 5 years. I said, but I'm going to start a work. And this guy crying. There's one particular sister. She was crying. Mucus was coming out of her nose. No, you're not going to leave us like this. We forbid. And I was asking God, are you sure I should leave these people? I got to Lagos. The next year, the sister called me and said, they've approved my visa to Canada. I said, you mean you have applied when you are crying? Imagine I stayed back. I will stay back. Not for me, God's call for my own life. You just say, what is the approval? You will not go. Imagine as Peter was telling Jesus, you will not die. Just now saying, I see love in his eyes. I say with you, I will not die. No, don't allow emotions in the way of what God is saying. If the manna is stopping, it's stopping. You can't pray it out. Find out what next. If the manna is not going to come, what next? So that you put your labor in the right places. God will want you to pray, but he wants you to pray in purpose. Purpose leads the devotion. Is your most spiritual devotion. Find out purpose. It directs the way you pray. It directs the way you fast. It directs the way you preach. Are you listening to me? Obey God. Ask God again, what next? Pray for me as I close. Ask God, what next? What will you have me do? I'm at crossroads. What will you have me do? Where will you have me go? What will you have me say? I didn't create myself. You brought me here. You gave me a name. The air in my lungs is yours. What's your plan for my life? What's your plan for my life? Yeah, you're 25. Now you're 30. You could be 16. You could be 20. You could be 12. Okay, maybe not. You're 40. You're 45. God, what do you want me to do? So that I don't ask for rain
when it's not the year of the latter rain. When it's not the time of the latter rain. So I don't stop following you 429 years in. When it's 480 years of waiting. What do you want me to do? See, he's the God who answers prayers. If you ask him, he'll tell you. If you trust him, he'll show you. We are not in vague times. We are not in spiritless times. Yes, there are things I hear this. They say, where is the God, the prophet as of old? No. We are in great times. We are in the days of, I'm not trying to be immodest with the fathers of faith. But I say to you, God is still working. Like the sons of Issachar, we have to know the times. We have to recognize this is where God is. And I am in the house of the Lord. I am in the plan of God. Yeah, he's using me the way he wants to use me. He might not turn stone to bread, but listen, what he's giving them, the message. He might not part the sea again. Now be time to walk on water. You must recognize the times. You must recognize the seasons. Your race is not for the swift, neither is the battle for the strong. It's not for the quickest. It's not for the most skilled. It's a time and chance, purpose, opportunity. The curious moment happens to them all. If you don't know how to find out God's plan and time, it's already a disastrous life by default. Meaning that it's just an ordinary life. But I won't lead an ordinary life. No, I won't. I know I'm going to ask him in the place of prayer, and he's going to make it clear to me. You'll be shocked at people that their purpose is also linked to another man's purpose. A dear friend, pastors in Kaduna now. He said, he told me then, and I knew it was God for him. In 2013, he said, God did not call me, he called my guy. He said, I'm going to walk with him. He said, because God told me to walk with him. He said, So they were both in the Ibadan doing pastoral work. You probably know Peter Sam saying, you're on Facebook. I'll tell you. And I said, he said, but I'm telling you so that you can pray for me. Just let me know what God's mind. And I prayed about it. In fact, I forgot. Then about 4 days later, he messaged me and said, what do you say, emoji? I said, give me 5 minutes. So I went to pray about it. I was still in university. I went to pray about it. And God said, yeah. Lot did not hear the call. Lot just said, God called my guy. I cannot stay here. If God is taking him out of here, I'm going out of here. And Lot did not perish. In fact, Peter said, righteous Lot. Amen. If you like, qualify everything. Say, righteous Lot. But he found out God's plan. That, you see, in God's plan, I might not even be the number one. I might be number two forever in God's plan. And I'm willing to accept that. How many of us can? That's what he said. I might not even be number one forever. I might be number two in God's plan. And I'm okay with it. Find out. I said, not everybody can. Everybody is going to lead a congregation. We trust God for increase. We trust God for multiplication. But not everyone is going to lead a congregation of 100,000 people, 200,000 people. Not everyone. But we trust God for increase. As discipleship progresses, we trust God for numbers. But you must all be able to accept and say, if this is my call, if this is my purpose, I'm ready to live with it. I know a pastor who left a what you call a thriving church, over 2,000 plus members in Lagos, and he went to Zaria. See, today, see, pastor, about 30. I messaged him sometimes 3 years ago on Facebook, and he said, bro, we thank God, I'm doing well. God's word and power is working. When you hear things like that, you find people who have who already recognize that God is a God of purpose. He doesn't color everybody with the same brush. He picks you out, calls you by name, and gives you a work. Look at the seven letters to the churches in Revelation. Not one look like the other. Not one. Different flavors, different instructions, because it gave them different assignments. Yeah, we have a global assignment to reach the world for Jesus. But you see, the specifics are quite dynamic. You hear his voice. Let me be clear to you. You won't miss purpose. Can we pray to understand God's timing this morning? Do you want to? He can show you in a vision. He can show you in a dream of the night. It will be so clear to you that you never miss it. Pray for yourself.